One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Like. It's the Bro Show. It's Lucas and Jacob.
3, 2, 1.
Hi, bros. Welcome back to another Bro Show Spectacular.
Yeah, it's September, so it always makes me think of that song. Wake me up. When September ends. That's like a sad September song, but then there's also a happy one. September, when it was hot, September. So you kind of get to pick what you want, you know?
So what's this year for you? Are you more of a Green Day vibe, wake me up when September ends, or?
I'm more of an Earthman File vibe. I feel like, yeah, I'm not the Green Day vibe this year. I mean, I thought about that song like a few years ago during September, and I was like, that sucks that that song exists, because like, I feel like it just like brings the whole vibe down.
I know, just wake me up when it's all over. Just sad.
I know.
But shout out to Green Day.
It's probably, they just had like a big outbreak during that month, I'm assuming.
If I remember right, it's something to do with the military or something.
Oh, it does?
I think so. Like,
oh,
I think
it is,
like,
I mean?
I think maybe that was just the music video, but something like a military husband's away and she's saying like he'll come back at the end of September. So just wake me up when this month's over so he comes back.
Wow, I didn't know it was about that. I just thought it was more like way lighthearted.
I might have made that all up, but I think Green Day was such a moment.
Do they sing this song? Something about a boulevard, like I walk this lonely boulevard. Is that another
band? Oh yeah, that's them.
Oh okay, I wasn't sure.
That's all. I think those are all from their album American Idiot.
And then they have the album cover where it's like someone with a heart holding it in their hand and it's bleeding.
Oh, that's American Idiot. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because one of our sisters always used to wear their merch then.
Oh yeah, she went to the Green Day concert when she was in 8th grade, and I was like in 5th grade. I remember thinking like it was so badass that she was there.
And were you kind of jealous a little bit?
Yeah, or? And she was just like, yeah, it was so much fun. Billy Joel, that's his name, right? Isn't that another man's name, though?
I think Billy Joel's the guy that sings Uptown Girl.
No, but I'm pretty sure this guy's name is Billy Joel, too. I don't get it.
Wait, what? I need to find this out for my own self. Because I could believe their name the same thing, but it can't be the Billy Joel that I'm thinking of.
Oh, no, that's the thing. I think there's multiple Billy Joels who are singers.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Billy Joe Armstrong. Basically Billy Joel, but it's Billy Joe Armstrong.
That's the Green Day man?
Yeah, and is he related to Neil Armstrong? He probably gets that all the
time.
There's
so many questions.
I know. Then it leads to, like, we probably won't get to any of our topics because now we have to figure this out.
I know. We're so intrigued about Green Day right now. But the first thing that obviously everyone's waiting for us to bring up, the whole internet is waiting for our opinion on it.
What?
Nikado Avocado is back, and he's had a complete transformation. What?
I know. I saw this in my YouTube recommended, and like a lot of people care. Like, it makes sense why everyone cares, because it had like 20 million views or something.
I know. Like, he is actually the moment. He's it.
It's crazy that like mukbangers aren't niche. They're mainstream.
I know. They were niche maybe in like 2017, but now just they're everything.
I haven't watched the video, but it seems like there's this whole thing where he said in the video, like, I played a trick on all you guys. Something like that. Kind of a social experiment.
I watched the whole video because I was like, I have to see the whole entire thing.
Yeah.
So basically, if you guys don't know Nikado Avocado, if you think you don't know him, if you saw a photo, you would recognize him. Like, I feel like every single person on earth with internet connection knows his face.
Oh, and it's He's like Trisha Paytas. Like, maybe you haven't watched a video. Like, I could believe that, but you probably have seen a photo. Yeah, like you were saying, you probably have seen a little 10-second video of him or something.
That's the same with Trisha Paytas. Like, I feel like the whole world knows who she is, but maybe not everybody has engaged with her content. Like, not everyone's watched her podcast or watched her videos, but everyone knows her.
Yeah, so like,
they're it.
It's the same with like Lady Gaga. Like, you might not be a fan, but you know Just Dance. So same with like these types of people. You might not watch any of their videos, but like you've seen that 10-second meme of them.
Yeah.
And so that's like their Just Dance.
The whole lore of Nikado Avocado, he's a mukbanger, like Jacob says. And he always went viral because he used to be vegan. And he was like all skinny, I guess. And then he became a mukbanger. And then people would always show the comparison. Like, he used to be vegan. Then look what the internet did to him. Because like, he would do all these mukbangs. Like, eating a mountain of noodles or that type of thing.
Yeah, just like eating like 10,000 calories in one sitting type stuff.
And he would always get in fights with his boyfriend in the videos, food fights.
Those are the clips that I remember seeing. Like, it would for sure had to all be a skit, but it was funny.
I know, what's in my mind right now is a thumbnail of Nikado Avocado and his boyfriend making out open-mouthed, and there's a stack of Big Macs in front of them. Like, they knew how to get everyone's attention.
I know. They just, yeah, like, just doing absurd stuff like that.
So, to be completely honest, I didn't even know he'd been away from the internet for multiple months, but he hadn't posted in 7 months. He came back, and he's just has a whole different look. He looks like he's completely, like, back to where he was when he first started making videos. People are just confused.
So this is the question. Like, he took off a year, but were some of those videos that were posted a year ago pre-filmed, or did he actually lose that much weight in just a year?
No, people, I went down this whole rabbit hole, and people think he hasn't recorded a video in 2 years. And he, like, pre-recorded all this content to keep the money flowing, keep people engaged as he went on his weight loss journey. But he didn't even, that's the thing, I watched the video, and he didn't even talk about that. He's probably saving that for the next viral video, like, how this all happened, how I did the transformation. But in the video I watched, it actually was scary. First of all, he's wearing a panda head. Don't know why. Like, you know, one of those like furry panda heads. And then he's whispering, saying like, he tricked everyone. He said, you guys all thought I was the joke, but you're the joke. I tricked all of you. He kept comparing everyone to ants.
Wait, so this clip that I saw on Twitter of him without a panda head, is that still the same video?
He just does it. This is the monologue.
Oh, okay.
There's probably like a 3-minute monologue with the panda head. He says, I'm a villain. And he said, all of you guys are just ants running around. And he said, I watch all of you guys run around and trying to cause drama. And I'm just in control of you all. Like, he was really like a Disney villain for the first 3 minutes. And I thought after that monologue, like, I feel like in every acting class across the nation, like, everyone's going to want to do that monologue. Like, the Nikado Avocado monologue is going to be the go-to.
So it sounds like he's kind of acting like a Marvel superhero.
Yeah. But then he takes it off, and then he's all weirdly happy. And he kept being like, yeah, it was all a dream, guys. It was all a dream. The dream's over. It was all a dream. And then he's so happy. Like, I don't know if that's how he used to be before the quote-unquote Nikado Avocado character, when he like would fight with his boyfriend and they would get in food fights. But yeah, he was just so like wholesome and happy, eating noodles, smiling so much with a parrot.
So, okay.
Like,
so yeah,
too happy.
So then it went to like this, it was started with like this like dark, like, I'm a super villain. And then it went to like, okay guys, like.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess that's his new vibe, just being so happy, spreading positivity. And he's still doing mukbangs. Like, he ate like this whole giant pile of black noodles, I think they were. They looked good.
And then a video showed up in my recommended today that I haven't watched either, of him doing a collab with this YouTuber, like, Fat Chick something.
Oh, is it a new one?
Yeah, it was uploaded like when I went on YouTube, it was uploaded like yesterday or something.
Oh my God, I haven't caught up with everything.
Yeah, so he still is a mukbanger.
I know. I just
a mukbanger.
Go him, you know? He tricked everyone. But then I guess he didn't really trick. Like, I think everybody kind of knew the Nikado Avocado was a character. Because then whenever you watch the videos, he'd always be screaming and fighting with his boyfriend, like I said. Like, you could tell he was kind of doing a little bit of a joke.
And then didn't he, like, so he gained a bunch of weight. And then didn't he, like, kind of do a thing where he, like, I don't know. I'm just going to say he was pretending because he kind of is giving the vibe now that he was pretending where he had, like, he needed oxygen and stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like it was kind of like a Miranda Sings type thing.
Yeah, that's actually cool, though, that he, like, I like the idea of doing a character, but no one knows you. Like, because technically you never admitted to doing a character, so it's kind of cool that no one really knows.
I know, and also, like, we don't even know how the transformation happened. Like, it could have been magic.
I know.
We don't know, because, like, the way he's talking in the videos, he keeps saying, it was all a dream. It was all a dream when we woke up. Like, what if he actually did somehow do this weird manifestation ritual where, like, it was, like, a Ursula type thing, like, some sort of Disney magic thing in the middle of the ocean.
And what if he actually is in control and we actually were like, we thought we were awake, but we were sleeping.
Oh,
but then
yeah.
We woke up and then
the way he
lost
described,
a bunch of weight and he actually is, yeah, he's magic.
The way he described like YouTube viewers in the video being ants, it just seemed like so scary. He's like, you guys are so bored and distracted. You click on these videos and we distract you with these stories and just a bunch of ants running around and it's scary. I didn't know I was an ant.
We are ants.
I know, it's a bug's life.
But yeah, he basically said like we're living in a bug's life.
I know. Just sad because I am an ant. I'm just scurrying around, clicking on videos, scrolling, interacting with things. Like I'm just an ant.
And then, yeah, it's just so crazy because so like he uploads this video and he looks completely different. But then I, like, because I didn't watch the video and kind of what you're saying, and then, like, these things that I saw about it, like, I like how he makes it something, like, way deeper than what it has to be.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
He could have been so boring, just came back and said, hey, guys, I lost a bunch of weight. It was all a character. Let's keep going. But I love how he did make it this, he wrote out, like, a monologue, you know?
Yeah, and it kind of, it makes you kind of scared.
I want to know how many takes he did. I feel like it might have been a one-take wonder. Like, he might have just nailed it right away.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, like, there was no takes. It was one take.
Do you think it was even written? Or was it improv?
I feel like he had a few ideas in his head. And, like, and I guess, like, he isn't, like, wrong. Like, he probably got all these hate comments. And, you know, like, with people like him, like, at a certain point, people just hate him because he's, like, a mukbanger. And, like, so, like, I guess, like, he does have a point. Like, all these people are just ants hating on him. Because don't ants follow, like, an ant leader?
Yeah.
So there was one hater on his comments, and then they just, like, follow everyone.
He was just saying, like, yeah, all of you guys were hating, but I've been the one laughing behind the scenes this entire time. And he said basically he's in control of everything. He's somehow in control of the upcoming presidential election.
I wonder, basically, whoever he endorses is who's going to win, right?
I know. People are waiting at the edge of their seats of who Nikado Avocado is going to endorse publicly. Because, yeah, they're the next president. Honestly, since that comeback video does probably have 30 million views now, do you think either Donald or Kamala are thinking, like, who's going to be the first to jump in and do a mukbang with him? Because, like, that is so much exposure.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that hasn't been thought about.
But I just am picturing Donald bent over. You know how they're always, like, kind of bent over in these thumbnails? Like, bent over a table, like, leaning towards the camera?
Yeah.
I'm picturing them both leaning towards the camera, noodles in mouth, face so red because it's so spicy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm picturing either Donald's face next to Nikado or Kamala. I can't really picture Kamala doing it because, like, it is kind of just unhinged, and she'd be like, I don't really want to promote, like, unhealthy eating, like, binge eating.
Well, I saw
Whereas Donald might be down.
I feel like both of them would be down.
Donnie. Do you remember when there was drama with Nikado Avocado and Trisha Paytas, and they both did a mukbang with that? Like, his whole thing is slurping noodles.
Oh, yeah.
And they just were both on either side of him, and maybe that's what it will be. Nikado Avocado in the middle, Kamala and Donnie on either side. And then they all are just, like, it's sort of like a face-off. Who's going to slurp more noodles down?
Oh, so it would be, yeah, and there's no talking involved, though.
Yeah, just slurping.
So with this, like, I feel like since these teams probably have, like, 100 people or more, like, I feel like there has been, like, one person in these presidential teams that has, like, brought it up at one of the meetings in the past 2 days saying, like, So there's this big mukbang, or maybe the biggest mukbang on the world. Like, you could do a collab with him, but, like, I feel like they're, like, everyone's a little bit scared, though, because, like, this don't show, like... Like, since he did the whole panda head thing, I feel like they're kind of scared, like, is he going to, like, expose us in it?
Or, oh,
like...
yeah. It would be a lot of, like, yeah, you don't know, like, are the public, like, do the public, are they on Nakato's side? Or do they feel bad that they got duped since he faked the whole thing?
But going back to, like, them doing, like, a, like, them both being in the mukbang, I feel like that would be a good way to do a presidential ad or, like, any political ad, eating during the political ad. So I'm pitching, you with some nachos. And it's not, like, a gross amount of nachos, just, like, nachos you get at a concession stand. And just talking about, like, oh, yeah, okay, so I'm going to make taxes go down because of the economy, and I'm going to make groceries go down.
And like, while you're eating, while you're talking about all that?
But it's not, like, it's more of a casual eating, not, like, a full-on bust.
Oh, so they'll do the hack that all those TikTokers do. You know how, like, they want to, like, tell a joke or tell a story, but they know just them sitting and talking is boring. So they'll either be doing their makeup, cleaning, yeah, putting together, like, a meal prep. Like, yeah. You would have to do stuff like that to keep people's attention, honestly.
Doing a get ready with me while you're a political ad, like, voiceover's going.
That, honestly, is for sure on Kamala Harris's social media strategy somewhere. I don't know if she's going to do it, but somebody suggested to get ready with me. Can you imagine her ring light up on a vanity, on, recording on a vanity, and she's just getting ready and saying, hey guys, I'm getting ready for my busy day, like promoting my campaign. Anyway, like, let's just talk about some stuff. And like, as she's doing it, she's contouring, like, lip gloss. That would actually be entertaining. Every day she could do a get ready with me. I don't know if she actually does her own, I don't even know if she wears makeup, but just, she probably isn't applying it herself. Or maybe, do you think she has a makeup artist? Who's her MUA?
There was like a time where I didn't know what MUA meant, and I went to these people went to these people's Instagram profiles, and I was like, "What's a MUA?"
Makeup artist for those not in the know.
Yeah, then I realized, like, oh, it's a makeup artist.
Yeah, even if you're watching the video version, like, Jacob and I look very natural, but we both obviously have a MUA who works on us before.
I feel like both of them have a makeup artist.
Oh yeah, but Donald's gives the vibe that he does it himself. It's not very blended. Maybe he has a very inexperienced MUA.
I feel like he has like this makeup artist that he had since like the '80s.
Oh, true. But while I was watching Nakato's 30-minute video and watching the entire thing, it made me think about just life update videos in general. And it's funny how like we'll watch strangers who we never will ever meet. We'll watch them talk for 45 minutes about their life update, but you never just see someone in your real life and like. They never just rant at you for 45 minutes and give you an update on their life. And like, these are people we actually know.
What's so cool about these videos is that like you can, I feel like one of the coolest things about these update videos is that you can comment, but you can't interrupt them speaking. Like it would be like, so if you're at dinner with someone and they do give you a life update, I guess what's different about it is that it's a conversation, like you're supposed to add into it. But it would be cool if there was like a setting where someone could just talk to you, because I do like hearing people talk. And like, it was kind of a thing where it's like, oh, I'm here, but like, I'm not like the communicator. I'm more of just the listener.
Oh, yeah, we should normalize that in day-to-day life. Like you go to dinner with a friend and it's decided before who's going to talk. And the other person literally doesn't say anything. They can do gasps every now and then or say no or what? But like, other than that, no talking. And the person just has to go with their off-the-cuff monologue about their life update or just their opinions on things. It's just sad. I just think it's sad how we don't do that with people we actually know in real life. But I'm watching Nakato's 30-minute life update. Like, why do I even care?
The thing about these life updates, though, people only do them like once every 6 months. So if you're going to dinner with someone once a week, you can't be doing this. Okay, you're talking and I'm not talking. Because what are they going to talk about that happened within a week? I feel like if you were going to do this, you can only do it every 3 months.
Yeah, the rest of the time would just be regular conversations. But yeah, every 3 months they'll do a full-on thing. Because imagine just if you went out to dinner with Dad and he just gave you his full viewpoint on life, his new like vibe, his new style he's doing, his just this life update. Like, I feel like I don't know his life update because he never talks for 45 minutes straight like Nakato Avocado.
I feel like the coolest thing would be also... like, kind of what you were saying, like, both of you guys mutually decided that this is a thing. So, like, you know, sometimes when you're talking, if you're not doing a YouTube video and you're just talking to someone, you don't know, like, are you down for me to talk for 45 minutes? I like how in this situation, it's literally discussed before, like, oh, I'm going to talk for 45 minutes, and you actually are going to be listening, and you aren't even annoyed. Like, that's what would be so cool about this, is that, like, it's, like, It's already planned.
And then it doesn't have to be a thing where you're like out of breath, like yelling. Like you can take breaks, eat some bites, look around. Like it doesn't, when you're filming a YouTube video, just a little behind the scenes moment for non-YouTubers, like there's a lot of like pauses, redos. Like it isn't just one long stream of talking, you know?
Yeah.
So that should be also the vibe of these update dinners. Like you can take breaks. Like it doesn't have to be like, because I was picturing if it was, you'd start getting red in the face, like your neck would be bulging. You wouldn't get enough breath in between sentences.
Wait. These update dinners. I actually thought of a better idea for this whole thing. We could make a restaurant called the Life Update Restaurant. And this is what I'm pitching. I had this whole vision. So only two people are allowed at each table. Each table is a long table. It's like 30 feet. One person at the other end, one person at the other end. What if this is what it is? One person had headphones on. The other person has a microphone on. That would be so cool. Oh, because like, then it fully feels like you're there to listen to them. It's already like in the air. It's in the environment. In the aura, everything. Like you're here to listen.
I know, we need to get on this. Yeah. Like I said, to start off this, like I just don't get why we care about these. Like you people watch 45 parts of a random TikToker giving their life story, but like they won't do that to people like their own sister. Like we need to start doing this. But then again, most people don't really. I guess most people are kind of like they don't want to talk for 45 minutes. Like they'd feel like that was an invasion of privacy.
And it seems like when these like social media people do life updates, they live this life that most people probably don't live. Like they do. They say, okay, so I got evicted last month. Okay, and then my sugar daddy dropped me, so I have no money. Like, yes, there is people in actual life that live like that, but probably most people don't live like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, But I still think the life update restaurant would be a good idea.
But now that I think about it, I feel like humans do sort of do that. Like, that's sort of like a wine night.
No, but so this is the difference, though, is that the other person is not talking.
Oh, yeah.
That's what would be cool about
this. But I could picture in wine nights, like a lot of times one person is talking for 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like that's the only thing I can compare it to is a wine night. Like somebody might literally be like doing a monologue.
Oh, like when people talk on the phone, like there is sometimes where someone's just talking for 5 minutes. And like, so there is situations in life that are like that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It just would be different. And maybe it would be uncomfortable. Maybe I'm like totally wrong and it actually wouldn't be fun. But it just would be different if it was like planned beforehand. Like, this probably wouldn't even go over. I feel like most people would feel uncomfortable because it's like, why do I have to entertain someone?
I know. I feel so much pressure leading up to the life update dinner. I feel like, wait, I kind of have to like exaggerate things to make it interesting.
Last week I mentioned like things that are gay. And people actually commented a few things that they got called gay for.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, this one's funny. Someone said they got called gay for wearing flip-flops.
Oh, that is gay.
Yeah, I guess I would never like think about that though, but I can totally picture being someone being called gay for this.
That is funny. I'm just picturing a middle schooler wearing flip-flops and then someone. So I'm trying to think. I think I wore flip-flops. This is more of a thong moment. Like, are thongs more of the thing you get called gay for in middle school?
Yeah, maybe if you were wearing slides. Yeah, that's what they're called. Slides, like, that's not gay. But then if you're wearing, like, thongs, maybe that's, like, when you might get called gay.
I remember when I first heard someone call flip-flops thongs, I was like, what?
No, I, like, literally didn't, like, start, like, thinking that in my brain till, like, 3 years ago, I felt.
I remember someone in, like, elementary school called them thongs, and I was like, ew, what? And then I was like, ew.
I always just referred to them as sandals.
No, thongs.
But I guess it makes sense, like, so if you're saying sandals, how else would you, like say those types of sandals?
Oh, yeah, like, differentiate. Differentiate between the different sandals. Oh, I nailed that pronunciation.
I was actually, that was in my brain, what I was going to say. How else would you do the word that you just said, that, but I purposely skipped that word because I was like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to pronounce that right now.
I know, like, even like me too, when I thought of that word in my mind, I was like, I can't say that. Differentiate.
That's why it's helpful every now and then pull out the thesaurus and find out the words that you can't say, and then like just then learn the new words.
Oh, that you can't say.
Yeah. So, nah, but yeah, that's like one. And then someone else said this one. How didn't I write this down? This one's a classic one. having too many friends that are girls. That's like,
that was me for sure in elementary school.
If you were a guy and you had too many girls that were friends, like, you would know, like, that's a thing.
Oh, yeah. That's like one of the classic things people try to call you out for. And it's like, I'm straight. I just remember me in elementary school at my Catholic school. And like, I always was in the monkey bar section with all the girls. And we'd always be like twirling. Like, I don't even know if we talked. It was just twirl city. Like, one girl would twirl and like we all say, oh my God, yeah. And like, then I would go up and twirl on the bars and like we kind of like see who could do what tricks.
Wait, so you twirl on the monkey bars?
Like there was a monkey bar section, then there was bars. You know, like those kind of gymnast things?
Yeah.
Sort of like a whole gymnastics thing going on. I remember somebody did call me out saying, you always hang out with girls. And I remember thinking, like, oh wait, that is weird and like very bad. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to hang out with a boy because I'm a boy. So then I hung out with like the boys in the soccer field and I was like, I hate this. Like, it was just the vibes were off. Like, it was just not fun.
Oh, yeah. I feel like for me, like, in elementary school, I hung out with, like, with both genders. But then in middle school, I mostly just hung out with girls.
Oh, yeah.
Because in elementary school, I just played, like, tag at recess most of the time.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, my elementary school, at least one year, like, second grade, it was completely, like, separated by gender. Like, the girls would be in the twirling section and the guys would be on the soccer field.
Oh, yeah. I get. Yeah, there always was, like, the people that played sports. But then I remember there was, like, there was people that would go on the swing sets, and that was, like, multi-gender.
Oh, that was, like, the binary, non-binary people,
maybe?
Oh, yeah,
maybe. But then there was, like, I'm trying to think of the part. So, basically, most of the time, the sports would be just the guys.
Yeah, the sports would be on the soccer field. The girly girl femmes would be on the twirl city, and then the non-binaries would be on the swings.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Literally every elementary school. But, oh, my God, I miss twirl city. Like, that is just so fun.
I feel like
so
I need to see a video of what was happening.
Like, honestly, afterward, I'm recording, like, I want to go to a park and go to the twirl section and just twirl. Like, remember we did that in West Hollywood last year? West Hollywood has a twirl section.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we just, like, twirl. And, like, you do all those flips, remember? And then even doing that thing with those two bars, that like, those two parallel bars, like, swinging on them.
Oh, yeah, like the ones that you put your hands on?
Yeah. Oh, twirl city.
Were you always the best because you actually were in gymnastics?
I remember
it was
always kind of like a competition between me and this one girl.
Oh, because was she also in gymnastics?
Oh, yeah, I was in gymnastics. I forgot that I actually was, like, a gymnast at one point. Like, I was third in line to go to the Olympics. I'm just kidding. I couldn't even do a backflip, but
I could have gone to the Olympics, but I was too busy doing like YouTube stuff.
Oh yeah. I could have been Shawn Johnson. She's like an Olympian.
Oh, okay.
But one thing I thought of was I randomly just thought of like sayings last week. Like I thought of the saying two and two together. You know, people say put two and two together.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then classic. I thought we'd do a little game. But it's actually just a one-sided game because I know the meaning since I looked them up. But I'll say a saying, and then you'll say if, like, you know what it means, which most likely you will. But then you have to guess, like, why it's called that. You know, like, a lot of these sayings, like, I don't know why the saying is that. Like, for example, put two and two together. Like, I actually don't know why people... I know what it means, obviously. Like, put two and two together means, like, let's come to the conclusion of this or, like, figure this out in a simple way, but I don't know why it's called that. Like, wait, why are the twos being involved?
So put two and two together. Like, this is what it would be, right? Like, I would say, I want a banana, and you say, I want an apple. And then I would say, okay, let's put two and two together and mix them. So, but
I think you could use it like that, but it also would be like, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to think when you would use this. No, it'd be like, if you were trying to figure out, like, something about someone. Like, if you were trying to figure out, like, where are they from in the United States, then you would look at where they went to school. Like, that you'd, like, listen to their accent, and then you would put two and two together and, like, come up with a conclusion.
But, yeah, okay, but this is what I'm confused about. Why wouldn't you just say, let's put one and one together? Because that's only one idea and another idea, but why is it two and two? That's kind of making me think that those four ideas.
I know, so that's why I was confused, so you don't know why it's called that, like me.
Yeah, I guess I don't.
So basically, why it's called two and two together is because it's based on the simple arithmetic of adding two and two to get four. So it's basically just saying, like, everyone knows 2 + 2 = 4. So it's like a universally understood thing. So the idea is, like, just like adding 2 + 2 = 4.
It's
just
so simple.
Putting together obvious information should lead to an equally straightforward conclusion.
Oh, it goes back to what literally the previous thing. People in elementary school were putting 2 and 2 together. You're wearing flip-flops and you're a guy. you're gay. They put two and two together, you know?
Oh, it's yeah.
So people have always been putting two
That's
and two
true.
Together.
That's true. They saw me in Twirl City and they put two and two together and, yeah, called me the F-slur.
Okay, I just got like a vision in my mind where there's like this pop song that is so big that this is the chorus. Like the chorus goes something like, let's put two and two together and like, and then it would like kind of be about how whoever wrote this song is like a bad bitch. So like it'd be like put two and two together, and it would give two things that make them a bad. Like I was at home eating PB&Js, and I was doing this, and then it would be like that's why I'm a bad bitch.
I'm picturing that's Megan Thee Stallion's next single. I'm picturing going ah, Megan Thee Stallion, and then she says like so. I came from nothing, now I'm everything. Put two and two together. I used to shop at Claire's, now I'm at Hermes. Put two and two together. I'm a bad bitch. Put two and two together.
I know it.
Two and two together. Two and two together. Two and two together. Honestly, any female rapper can steal that. But that honestly made me... I'm going to go back to the sayings, but I just thought of something else with Elementary Playground. We said the non-binaries were the swings, the girls were the Twirl City, and then the guys were in the soccer field. Who's the teeter-totter people? Because I just thought about how one time I got my finger stuck in the teeter-totter handle. But I'm wondering, like, where do they fall in? Are they more of like the...
They're more like underground, you know?
Oh, that gives alternative energy teeter-totter. Like, they don't really F with any of the society, any of the labels. Like, they're just going to teeter-totter. Seesaw.
Yeah, I guess they're more of like, not all who wander are last.
Oh, that's
kind of
so
that,
their vibe.
That whole theme.
The Seesaw Kids.
Are those
banned, by the way?
They are.
I just feel like I never see Teeter Totters anymore.
I could see that. Another thing that probably got banned because there's been so many scary stories about them, merry-go-rounds.
I'm pretty sure those are banned in our state. Because I remember when that happened and I was like, I think I was like 15 when they banned it and I was mad. I was like, what?
That was like, okay, that, if I'm thinking correctly, I think that's what everyone like, found out, like, we can all be friends. Because I remember, everyone would go on the merry-go-round.
Oh, the merry-go-round
spin it so fast.
The merry-go-round was actually, yeah, the area where every group came together. Like, it was finally where this, like, let's just put the guns down and, like, all just be friends.
Yeah, like, I feel like, basically, if there ever is a political party in the U.S. that's in the middle, and it actually becomes so popular where they win... It would all originate to the merry-go-round.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
those
for
people,
sure.
The people that really, like, hold on to the merry-go-round mindset are the people that are going to put that build the framework for that
oh,
party.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I just thought of teeter-totters are dangerous, though, because you remember going on them and you always slam your crotch so hard. Like, I have never tried to conceive children, but I wouldn't be surprised if I can't. Because, like, remember it was always the trick where you're up on the seesaw, the other person jumps off and you go slamming down. Balls smashed.
Oh, yeah.
Testicles into pancakes.
I would never think about that, but now when I think back to it, it was very painful.
Like, I just remember being on the seesaw, and it was like a rough thing, like going so fast, and it just was scary, crotch hurting, like my finger stuck. Just was dark.
Yeah, and I do get why they probably were banned, because it was like, if I remember, at the time, it always felt like I was going so high.
I know, it's just scary. Anyway, next saying, let the cat out of the bag. You know what this means.
Oh, yeah, so I always think about it of like, oh, I have a secret, and then someone would say, don't let the cat get out of the bag.
Oh, yeah, letting the cat out of the bag is associated with revealing a secret.
Okay.
So, why do you think that saying is that? Like, why do you think it's called let the cat out of the bag?
Maybe, let's just say in, like, the early 1900s when people got cats, they came in a bag and you wouldn't want to let them out of the bag until you got home.
You're kind of on
Something
the right
like
track.
That.
So, back in the day, farmers would sell pigs in bags, I guess, but there were some scammers. There's always been scammers. And there'd be scammers with a bag, and they'd say, who wants to buy a pig? And they would, my phone's vibrating. But anyway.
I was wondering what that was, because in a weird way, it kind of sounded like someone was doing this.
I know, I was like, who's doing that in the closet? So anyway, some scammers would have a cat in a bag, but tell people, okay, who wants to buy a pig? And pigs cost way more than cats. And then the people wouldn't open up the bag till they got home. And then they'd let the cat out of the bag, and the secret would be revealed that they got scammed. They thought they were getting a pig, but it was really a cat.
Oh, okay.
So
wait,
I guess now the vibe, like, okay, just let the cat out of the bag now, because like they didn't want to get scammed, and they would open up the bag and see, oh, it's a pig. You weren't lying. Perfect.
So would they sell these pigs to a famos, or would just like families buy a pig to?
And probably to eat them, make ham sandwiches.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that makes sense, and it makes me think like those scammers back then. I feel like they dissolved the money they got from scamming. Whereas like these scammers now, they don't dissolve it because they're doing it in the most lazy ways. Like, oh, basically, yeah. They just come up with this scam email, and they have this mass email list, and they send it. Like, whereas back then, I would go as far as say, like, that scamming should have been legal. Whereas, like, scamming nowadays, I actually get why it's
But also,
illegal.
I'm thinking, even back then, like, was this a traveling seller? Because if you're in the same village with everyone, and you're scamming everyone, aren't they just going to come to your house and kill you? Burn you at the stake?
Yeah, I feel like this had to be when, like, industries and like the service industry or whatever like grew so much.
Yeah, maybe there was like traveling sellers. Like yeah, once they scammed you, they'd be out of the city. Who cares?
It's kind of like those people. I don't know if they go to door to door anymore, but like those people that would sell like cleaners for the carpet. Those were traveling sellers, right?
Oh yeah, our mom was a vacuum cleaner seller.
So she would go, but I guess she wasn't traveling though, right?
I think she was. She said she scammed. I'm kidding. She was selling legitimate vacuums, but I think, yeah, she would just travel door to door, but she'd stay in the same city, yeah. But anyway, next saying, spill the beans.
Oh, yeah, so this is when, like, is it kind of like cat in the bag?
Yeah, it's basically, yeah, like, oh, yeah, letting a secret slip. Same thing as letting the cat out of the bag.
So don't spill the beans.
Yeah, why do you think it's called don't spill the beans?
The first thing that came to mind was, like, when you eat beans, you'll eat more fiber, so you might shit more. So it's like if someone was at their dinner table and said, like, don't spill the beans, like, don't shit on yourself. Like, if you are going to eat beans, like, make sure you're used to them, or, like, you don't shit everywhere.
Oh, so it's all about, like, fiber intake.
Yeah, and, like, don't shit when you eat beans, like on the table.
This one was surprising. I guess it all goes back to ancient Greece. Is that what everyone was obsessed with last year? Or was that the Roman Empire?
That was the Roman Empire.
They're kind of like the same thing, you know? Tomato, tomato. So anyway, in ancient Greece, voting, people would cast votes using beans. It's like, girl, get a better system. Get a computer.
Wait. So they would have there would be like a tick for Angela and a tick for Amanda, and you put your bean in Amanda?
I guess they would cast votes, and white beans would mean yes, and black beans would mean no. And if somebody ever spilled the beans prematurely, the result would be revealed before the voting was complete. Hence, spilling the beans became synonymous with letting a secret slip. Okay, I'm kind of confused. So I guess someone's holding all these beans, and then if they spill them, the votes are revealed before the voting's done. I was picturing it more like if you messed up the beans during the voting process, it would just F everything up. Like, it wouldn't be revealing a secret.
Oh, yeah, so
what were they doing? We need to go back to bean voting, honestly.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool if it was more a traditional, yeah, something like that.
And probably get a lot of voter fraud figured out if we just went back to bean voting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that one I would have never guessed.
Next, jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh, okay. So this is what I'm pitching. Like, you know, like the there's a video game named after it. Like
a bandwagon?
No, like those trips that people would do across the country.
Oh,
like,
the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, the Oregon Trail. Yeah. So people would be on wagons traveling the Oregon Trail to reach a new destination. And people from villages or towns or whatever would get on the bandwagon and be like, oh, you guys are going to this place. I'm joining. And someone would be like, I have enough room on my wagon. You can come for $10 for the whole trip. But so that's, I guess, what jumping on the bandwagon means. Because then they jumped on the bandwagon to go on the Oregon Trail.
Because you've heard that before. People say, like, are you going to jump on the bandwagon?
Oh, yeah. So it's basically like following a trend.
Yeah. So you think, you think it goes back to the Oregon Trail.
Just some type of transportation where people are transporting things. And yeah. They're like, oh, I'm going to join like the gold rush in California.
So I guess this goes back to political campaigns. Back then, like, there'd be political parades with actual bandwagons. And politicians would ride on the bandwagons, like, for the parade, being like, vote for me, like, blah, blah, blah. And then people would actually jump on the bandwagon. They would jump on the bandwagon, like, with the politician they liked. So it was, yeah, they were seen as, like, a supporter of that politician. So now the phrase just means adopting a trend because it's popular.
So, was this, like, presidential campaigns?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Because wouldn't they probably still do that for like some local campaigns?
Like, oh, for, yeah.
Like, for, like, the governor even of a state. Like, I feel like there probably would be, like, the biggest parade in a state. They might be on, like, a wagon with their name on it.
And then people would jump on it. But people wouldn't jump on it.
Yeah,
now.
People wouldn't jump on it because they'd probably be like, oh, like, do you have a gun? Are you going to shoot the governor? Then maybe that wasn't more less of a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, do you think anyone died during these jumping on the bandwagons? Like, they fell off and got hit by the wheel?
Also, like, it just
ran
sounds...
ran over?
Yeah, like... What if there wasn't enough room for all these people? Like, it kind of sounds like... It does kind of scary.
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, this was in the 19th century, before automobiles. So horses were dragging these bandwagons with all these humans jumping on. It's like, bitch, I know you're trying to win the election, but the poor horses are probably like, at a certain point, I can't drag all you anymore.
So is it the type of thing where, like, you jump on for a second, I wonder? Or is it like, I'm staying on it for the rest of the 40 minutes of the
That's the thing. I don't know. But that's what that one goes down to.
It's whether these all have meanings, because part of me would just think, like, there's literally not a meaning. It just got popularized and no one knows the meaning.
That's why I wanted to look into this, because, like, with two and two together, maybe that's just common knowledge. It's 2 + 2. But I was just like, what does that mean? Going back to the 2 and 2 one, though, I've heard this before. This is always the most annoying-ass people who you ask a question and they're kind of doing this vibe of, like, you should know that, bitch. And they say, it's 2 + 2, 4? So it makes sense kind of that means that. But you know how that's a thing people do?
Yeah.
Like, you would say, do you have work tomorrow? And they'd say, it's 2 + 2, 4? Every Monday I have work. Any more questions, dumbass? And it's like, oh, my God. Like, I'm leaving the situation.
Yeah, anyway. It really... kills curiosity.
I know. We only have two more, guys. Caught red-handed. You know it means, like, getting caught.
Yeah.
Why is it called that?
Is it just because your face is red, and when you lie, your face is red?
No, it's actually it's called that because of blood. Like, getting caught on the crime scene with blood on your hands.
Oh.
I know. I never connected that either.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it would be more just like, oh, your face gets red if you're lying.
Yeah, so it's blood or on your hands at the crime scene. Undeniable proof of guilt. You're caught red-handed,
it's
fella.
It's only that people use caught red-handed for the dumbest things now. When it goes back to actual crime.
I know. Murders. Okay. Last one. Throw in the towel. I know it means like giving up usually. Like, I'm just going to throw in the towel on this. Or, like, I'm about ready to throw in the towel. Like, you're ready to just quit.
Oh, okay. So this one, like, I don't hear as much. Oh, yeah. Is it kind of like when you're bathing yourself, you're like, I quit bathing myself. So then you throw the towel at the bottom
of the
bathtub.
Bored of taking a bath.
So you just get out?
This one has to do with boxing, I guess. I guess if a fighter's corner wanted to stop the fight because their fighter could no longer continue, they would throw a towel into the ring to signal surrender. Do they still do that? Like in the Logan Paul boxing match, do they like throw in a towel when they're done? I don't think that's a thing anymore.
I thought it just works. You're done if you get like down to the floor for like 5 seconds or something.
Oh yeah. Is that WWE when they go 1, 2, 3 and then you're out? Because I remember playing the WWE video game and like that was always the goal.
I just remember I was at Buffalo Wild Wings and there was a UFC fight on and like it was just the vibe of, oh, if you're down on the ground for 5 seconds, we're going to stop the match over.
Oh, yeah, is that with
but
that?
But it's not like so like, yeah, like pound. Mm-hmm. But they would have a towel?
I guess they would literally just throw a towel in when they were ready to surrender.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, just, now you know all the adages.
So things probably are, these little sayings are always being created. Like we drive these vehicles, we put them in drive, neutral, and park and reverse and stuff, but... there will be a day where, like, there's none of that. So then people might say, like, put it in neutral. And there's going to be these younger folks that are like, what's neutral? Like, this will be, like, 100 years. And then it will mean, like, something like, oh, just keep it chill. I thought it would be interesting to talk about product cults. So you know how, like, people say, like, you could just use, like, Nike even. Like, people that buy that. Like a part of a cult, like obviously people aren't being serious, but you know the whole idea.
Cults of like based on products.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely a thing, like the Instant Pot cult, the air fryer cult, like those definitely.
I feel like the one that comes to mind when I think of product cults is just Apple. Like that's
that's an actual cult.
That's one that like really comes into mind because like they have like all these, I don't know if it's like purposeful or what, but they have all these programs kind of to make you keep being an Apple buyer.
Oh, for sure. iCloud. Like once you're in iCloud and you have multiple years in iCloud of photos and videos, there's literally no way out. Like there is a way out, but basically, and then you have an iPad, you have an iPhone, you have a MacBook. Like
and they're all
you're
connected.
Literally stuck. There's actually, even group chats, you can't really participate in them if you don't have an iPhone. Like, that actually is a cult.
I was kind of joking, but like, you know how people always say with cults, like they make you give all your money away. You know how with Apple, like you pay storage for iCloud, you pay for Apple Music. You could say that's like a version of that.
Oh, wait,
like,
that's true.
Because it's not like a one-time payment. It's a never-ending debt that you have.
Oh my God, do you think there are ways they got
it? I don't, that's not true, but like you could say like that with any streaming service.
You could literally cancel any moment, but you're stuck in it forever.
if you want to be part of the cult, you're stuck in it forever.
Oh yeah, but even, I think they originally started their cult because of iTunes. Like ever since I was in high school, like I literally bought music on iTunes. This is before streaming. So once you bought albums with iTunes, like you can only... Is iTunes available on like Windows devices or do you Android devices? I feel like you would have to have an Apple computer. So like from that point forward, I basically was stuck being an Apple person for life if I wanted to continue to listen to the music I bought.
Yeah, like I'm just assuming no, but could you download Apple Music on an Android? Maybe you could.
I feel like you could because when they want more users.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe not back then, though. At least I didn't think you could, so I was stuck in the cult.
Yeah. So the definition of a cult... to really find out if we actually are in a cult. A system of religious devotion directed toward a particular figure or object. Now, the definition literally says religious, and all of these product cults that I'm thinking of don't really have anything to do with religion.
Well, I guess it could be like a religious-like worship.
Yeah. I guess you could stretch it like that.
Because I actually read a book of this guy who's like a cult expert. I can't think of his name right now. But he's been on like all these podcasts and he was literally in a cult in the 70s. And now he like is all about like getting people out of cults and teaching people about like how to know if you're in a cult. But he said in the book that like even just like Taylor Swift or people who love Star Wars, like technically that's a cult. But he's saying there's like healthy cults. Where, like, it's not, like, those aren't detrimental to your life. But, like, technically it would, like, fit a cult because, you know, everyone's, like, obsessed with this person.
Oh, well, you could... Oh, okay. Or, like, even, like, a family could be a cult if they are religious.
He actually had... his whole thing is the bite model. I'm, like, educating everyone on cults. So, the bite model. Something's a cult if it's trying to... If it's trying to control your behavior... the information you're getting, your thoughts and your emotions. So honestly, Taylor Swift wouldn't be a cult.
Oh yeah, I
think
like...
he might have just been saying like they're kind of cult-like, but like they don't fully fit the definition.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because what really, like with what you said, the one that really stood out was the information you get trying to hide stuff.
Oh kinda. Yeah.
I feel like that's, I guess, like the example of like a family or even these products, they aren't really trying to hide information from you, at least from
If you were in a group where they were saying like, do not listen to the news, like do not listen to any sources, that they all have it wrong, they're against us, only listen to the people in this group. That's obviously a cult because literally your information is cut off at that point.
Yeah.
You only are getting information from like whoever's in that group. So it could become very cultish.
So yeah, like I said, the one that I always think of is... Apple. But then I also think of another one, few that I think of are water bottles. Yetis, Hydro Flask.
Oh.
So I'm kind of thinking of a product cult in this way. Like, yes, we were just talking about how like, oh, Apple kind of wraps you in with all these subscription services that maybe you can only get on the Apple devices. But also I feel like another important component to product cults are people failing, and this is also from an article that I read about in Vestopia, they mentioned it, but I feel like it's true, like people feeling like a product is part of their personality or identity.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So even like so water bottles, like Hydro Flask, like I remember there was a trend like a few years ago, what was it called? Visco Girl, like people said, this is what a Visco Girl does, and everyone was joking, I don't know if it was serious, but yeah, like Hydro Flask and like this one backpack. Yeah. But it kind of goes into, like, if you had a Hydro Flask, it would be kind of, not for everyone, people just have them because they want a water bottle, but for some people, they'd be like, oh, I'm getting a Hydro Flask because I want to fit this mold. So it's is, like, you get it to add to your identity in a way.
That's kind of weird. That's kind of everything, like, products. Like, even I'm thinking of somebody getting a truck. Like, they're sort of joining this whole truck community. Like, it sort of is, now they're, like, a truck person, you know?
I feel like Reddit kind of like made it a thing where like it's like there is like a lot of product cults because you can create a subreddit about anything. So like then if you just create a subreddit about Kia let's say there's a Kia 100. Like, if you could have got it for it, it might get 1,000 mumbles. And then technically, you guys are all in the Kia 100 cult.
Oh, and then you're all talking about how much you love the Kia 100. And then, like,
it makes you more obsessed, kind of.
And then you're kind of like, I never want to sell the Kia 100 because then I can't be a part of that community.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, is that, like, it makes you feel like you have a connection to others in a way.
Oh, that's true.
So, something I wrote is that, like, would we even get iPhones if they blew up? So let's say there was a story where 10 iPhones across the world blew up. I feel like it would prove if we're actually in a cult, if we'd still be buying iPhones.
if 10 of them blew up, you said?
10 in the world just blew up in someone's face. Like, that's, I guess, millions and millions of people have iPhones, so that wouldn't be that big of a percentage, but I wonder if we would still be getting iPhones. It just made me, think.
Didn't that happen to a Samsung phone?
I remember
in the somewhere in the 2010s, some Samsung phones were blowing up because then Nicki Minaj did that lyric, "I'm about to blow Samsung" or something like that.
Oh,
and there said he about to blow. I ain't talking Samsung.
What song is that?
Her song with Nick Jonas for 50 Shades of Grey.
I don't know if I ever listened to that one.
I don't even remember his part, but her verse is good.
50 Shades of Grey soundtrack had some good songs. They had the Ellie Goulding one. What was the Ellie Goulding one?
What was that? And then the Zayn and Taylor Swift one.
Yeah, and there was another one. Didn't Sia have one?
I'm picturing Halsey's. I'm not afraid anymore. It's all about, like, not being afraid to get beat in BDSM or something. No, that was everything.
Some things, like, people attached to their identities. But then what I was kind of thinking is, like, it's kind of interesting how some products people don't really attach it to their identity, like a fridge. Like, you never hear someone saying, like, I have the Samsung fridge, to, like, and they kind of make it part of their personality. Yeah. So then I kind of thought this could be it. People make products part of their personality if they're with you a lot. So clothing, even your phone, you're always holding your phone. Water bottles, you're always holding a water bottle. Whereas with a fridge, it's sitting at your house.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't really have time to flaunt it, you could say. Whereas these other products, you're kind of flaunting in a way. So then to show everyone, like, I'm part of this cult.
That's true. I feel like fridges could be involved in this, but, like, some people just need to start talking about it on social media.
Well, there could be. So for wealthy people, I'm guessing there is a Smeg cult, fridge cult.
Oh, I'm even thinking of couches, like the what was that one couch called? The
Cloud couch.
The Cloud couch that, like, every influencer had, and it was like $10,000 or something insane. Like, that was sort of a cult.
Yeah, so I guess I didn't really think about this because this isn't written in my notes, but the Cloud couch and other expensive products, like the Birkin from Hermes, those products, you could say, are product cults, but they're like a whole other product cult in trying to tell everyone that you're wealthy, you could say.
Oh, yeah. Basically goes into what you said, like, trying to make it your identity. Like, their identity is trying to be like, I'm so fancy and luxurious, so I have a Birkin.
Yeah. So it'd be like trying to showcase something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was this Investopia article about it that had some insights. So this is what they said, which Apple wouldn't be a product cult if this is what a product cult means. A cult brand, so I guess a cult brand, product cult, like, kind of could be interchangeable, but not. I guess you could kind of say they aren't. But unlike more traditional brands, they have customers who feel a sense of ownership or vested interest in the brand's popularity and success. So I think other parts of the article, they were kind of saying that it's probably more likely these smaller brands because they're small. So then you kind of feel like if you like wear them and stuff, like, and you get other people to buy them, it feels like you kind of are like part of the brand.
Oh, I could see that.
So I feel like that isn't really Apple because, like, when you, there's like so many people that already have Apple devices, like, you aren't really trying to, like, sell it. But there is these products where it's like hard to explain, where people aren't being like, it's Mary Kay, I'm trying to have you buy it. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of a thing, like, when you see it succeed and get really mainstream, you do kind of feel like, I kind of, like, created it. And everyone kind of feels like that a little bit. And then basically they ended the article to be unproblematic with, such cults are not harmful. But I put, are they though? With two question marks.
Well, do they fit the bite model?
Well, they don't fit the bite motto, but it's more of just like, are they harmful for society or helping society? And the obvious answer is they probably aren't harming society.
Oh, yeah, I think they're helping it because, like, isn't so much about health and mental health as being a part of a community? So even if your community is the Yeti bottle community, like, it's something, you know? It makes you feel like you're a part of something. Yeah, so if you feel like you're in a cult, just really research the bite model. And I wish you the best. Though what was so scary about learning about that cult man, though, on the podcast, he was talking about how a big part of his work is like helping family members get their like loved ones out of cults. But he was saying these cults are so manipulative and they work so well that, like, say your brother's in a cult and then you secretly go in the cult and your goal is to rescue your brother from the cult. A lot of times those people who infiltrate the cult secretly, they never end up rescuing their family member because they just become part of the cult. Like, isn't that scary?
Yeah, that's crazy. Cause I always think it sounds so fun. Like, joining not like a dangerous one, but joining a more like low key cult just to see, just cause I want to like know what it's like. Cause it's talked about so much, but yeah, like that's obviously true what you just said. And I feel like you can act like you're smarter than a cult, but they'll probably they already have been through people like you that thought they couldn't get brainwashed by it. So they probably know more than you.
I feel like getting wrapped up in a cult, like, wouldn't mean you were stupid. I feel like there's like really smart people could get into a cult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a weird thing of like a journalist like trying to infiltrate a cult to research it, but then they just actually become part of the cult. So they just drop the whole like assignment they originally went in for.
I wonder if anyone, it's like these journalists that do research on cults and they go so deep. They're probably someone that goes so deep where they've been a part of like four cults already for their work.
Yeah.
I feel like someone out there has created a model to not join the cult. Like, I was just thinking about the most simple, like, manifestation type thing of like every hour say in your brain, I'm not joining. Like, I thought like someone out there is like a cult expert and they have a way to like not join a cult, but still explore.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But it'd probably be so difficult.
Yeah. Speaking of cults though, the girl who got stuck in the McDonald's bathroom. It has nothing to do with cults, but I just am scared. Ever since we started doing this podcast, it seems like all of my worst fears are becoming a reality. First of all, we talked about a few weeks ago, someone got spiked at a marathon with meth. Like, that's an irrational fear. Like, what if someone injects me with meth and I don't know? It happened, apparently. Another one of my irrational fears is, what if I get stuck in a public restroom? It happened to a girl at McDonald's. Like, that happened to Jacob on a cruise ship.
Yeah, this girl was actually stuck, though, right?
You were stuck for only, like, a minute, but she was legitimately stuck. Like, she was in there. She was trying to open the thing. She was banging on it. Like, I think she was recording a TikTok, I don't think she was that scared. But her friends told the McDonald's workers, and they were like, girl, like, whatever. Apparently, she's stuck. She obviously isn't. They got the keys. The door wouldn't open. Like, she actually was stuck. But then, luckily, this, like, really, like, strong person was at the McDonald's, and he came to the rescue. I actually don't know if it was a boy or a girl, but they came to the rescue and barged open the door like football linebacker style. Like, the video is like shows them like banging into it with their shoulder, going back, doing it again, and just two bangs into the door and she was free.
It's crazy though, because when I think of a McDonald's bathroom door and so many other bathroom doors, they're like these like thick metal doors, right?
Yeah.
Unless it was like a wooden one. Maybe they do have ones like that, but I'm thinking about these thick industrial doors. They always are like that, it seems.
He busted it down.
Being stuck in a bathroom would be scary to me because you're with a lot of bathrooms, but not bathrooms at like someone's house, but with a lot of bathrooms, it's like these type of doors, and I think it's for privacy, where it's literally to the very top, to the very bottom, to each side. So that would be scary because you're actually trapped.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
Like with like let's say this room that we're in and just a bedroom at Lucas's place. Like, if we were stuck in here, it's not scary because all of these doors are, okay, that door over there, there's a little light coming out of the bottom and it's wooden.
So could bust it down if you really needed to.
And there's a window. Whereas these bathrooms are way more like,
But she wasn't
secluded and dark.
She wasn't stuck in a bathroom stall. It was the actual door into the bathroom.
Yeah, but you know what? Those are always these industrial doors.
Oh, yeah.
But this door, it's just like wooden. Like, that's not that scary.
Oh, but another one of my irrational fears is being in an airplane bathroom because they're so tiny. And, and I'm pretty sure I remember reading on Reddit or something. This is why social media is bad, because you just see every, like, something that's going to happen one in a billion times. You see it and everyone acts like it's happening all the time. But somebody did get stuck in an airplane bathroom in like the last couple of years, and then they were stuck in it for like 3 hours until they landed.
Oh my god!
Can you imagine? Like,
wait, so the flight attendants didn't know what to do?
I think they were just like, sorry, like, I guess we'll figure this out when we land. Like, I guess the door, it's sort of like the McDonald's door, like it just got jammed in just the right way where like there really was no way out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I would have to kick the door open.
Yeah, I guess like I would want to kick it open, but then like if I kick it open, are they gonna like create this whole
scene?
That's
so scary. Yeah, because you're on an airplane, that's a whole different thing.
Because with those plane bathrooms, from the ones that I'm thinking of, you probably could kick it open because they're kind of thin if you really were like anxious. But then if you did kick it open, I'm not even talking about the fees or anything. I'm just talking about like you might actually get tied down to a seat, which would be worse because they might think you're mentally ill or something. So
that sounds. Oh, but getting stuck in an airplane bathroom would be so scary because I feel like it's so loud on an airplane that even if you were in the bathroom saying like, hey, like, hello, I'm stuck in here. Like, I feel like nobody would hear you for a while. And like, even if they saw that the bathroom was taken, they probably wouldn't check on you for 30 minutes because they'd be like, maybe he just really is having a blowout.
Oh, yeah, there is some people. Yeah, they're in the bathroom like 20 minutes.
I know. And then you're just stuck in there.
That is a good point, though. It is. There's so much like air moving and so much noise on a plane.
Yeah. Luckily, most airplane rides, it's like 3 hours. But imagine if it was an international plane ride. And it's like, bitch, there's 10 more hours and I'm stuck in here. I feel like I'm going to miss the meal service. I'd be pissed.
But I feel like it is, if you really like got in this one state, it is a mental though, because even on a plane, you're already stuck.
I know, but I feel like something about being trapped. Like, and then there's that giant mirror. Like, I feel like looking at myself in a mirror for 10 hours stucking in a thing, I would go mentally insane.
Oh, there is something about mirrors that I feel like would make you
get sucked into the mirror dimension or something.
It would be like that. I think there's actually like a SpongeBob episode about that. Where like he gets in this room where everything's like reflective.
Oh, that'd
so
be
yeah, you probably go to that dimension.
I just picture like I'm freaking out, banging on the door, and every now and then I look at myself in the mirror and I'm crying. You know that like meme of that little kid that she's like combing her hair, crying in the mirror.
Oh yeah,
isn't that such a thing as a kid though? Like you wanted to look at yourself cry. But I feel like that'd be me locked in the airplane bathroom. Like I'd be crying, and then every now and then I would just observe my like crying and stuff, and then I'd kind of make it into a music video. So I guess I'd have fun with it.
Oh yeah, you could. Yeah, and then there'd be an article like the guy that got stuck in a bathroom for 10 hours made a music video in it.
To
spend the time.
Oh yeah, if you ever go in an airplane bathroom, always bring your phone, because at least you'll get a viral TikTok. You know,
say you're stuck in the bathroom. You already know people are planning on pretending they're stuck in the bathroom now.
Oh my god, I just thought of the grossest thing. Did you ever see those TikToks of that guy who cooked stuff in the bathroom in the airplane?
Oh, yeah, that was so funny.
He literally would cook like raw shrimp he'd fill up the sink, and then he'd use like this little device from Temu or something to make it into boiling water, and he would cook shrimp and stuff.
Oh yeah, I remember. It was like this frozen Great Value shrimp, if I remember right. Yeah, and then he'd do that whole thing. But so I know you can bring like prepared food from through TSA, like bananas, or if you made a sandwich, but I didn't know you could bring frozen shrimp through TSA.
He's definitely on the no-fly list for most airlines. Oh, yeah, because like, boo, you ruined the bathroom.
Isn't that such a fire hazard too? Probably heating that water in the sink to like 100, 200 or whatever.
I thought you're going to blow up the plane.
Yeah, but that was super funny because I think he did it a few times, but yeah, that is like just gross.
And then he would add, just gross too because of the hygiene, like cook, like, did he really scrub out that sink before he made a whole platter in there?
And also, it's like, do you really have to have a full meal on the plane? Because, like, if it's international, like, wouldn't they always give you a meal?
Oh, yeah. You need to have fresh shrimp.
But honestly, pro to him for, like, figuring out that. Because I would never think that would actually be possible.
I know, he did it. But I haven't seen him in a while. So, like, either he stopped doing the videos or they locked him up. They said, like, you know too much. You know how to do too much.
Can you picture? He actually, like, joined What's that program where they where you did something illegal but you could get out of prison, but like you people want to kill you?
So witness protection program.
Yeah, he joined that because like he just like knew too much, but he could be free, but they don't want people to know where he is because people ask him like, "How do you do that?"
I know. I feel like something weird happened.
Oh my gosh, we need to free him.
I know, free him.
Yeah, I don't even know his name, but free him.
Should we go?
Yeah, one of the cameras died, so it's probably time to go.
Yeah, we need to figure that out. The camera dies each time. I don't understand.
I know. What is like too silly to know?
The camera is against us. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.